Hi, today is May 27th, 2018. This is Mulvey's Podcast 256, or 100, 100, if you're counting in hex, as Ricky does. John Westfall is on a super secret mission, so I've got an all-Hawaii guest panel. I mentioned Ricky Lee. Say hi, Ricky.
Hello, we are not dead yet.
Not dead
yet. Lava's on a different island.
And also Paul Lawler.
Hello.
Hey, Paul. And, you know, I think that's worth mentioning because, you know, and we shouldn't make fun of people because, quite frankly, when things happen in other parts of the world, I'm not exactly sure where my friends live either. I mean, relative to, you know, whatever's happening. You know, like I've got friends in Israel and Peru and, you know, they've had earthquakes and missiles and I'm really not sure where they are. You know, except the general country. Like, okay, I know you're in that country, but other than that, not a whole heck of a lot of knowledge on my part. So, but Ricky, Paul, and I all live on Oahu. Yeah. We are about a 45-minute plane ride away from the island that is affected. That's like, what, 280 miles, Paul? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But and, every day, every inhale hurts.
Oh, well, we're not getting that much fog.
Yet.
Yeah.
Kona winds are supposed to start today. Yeah. The winds that bring the volcanic ash up from that island over to us starts today.
Yeah, thank you very much for that news. My lungs, thank you.
As a drone pilot wind, kind of, I pay attention to it now.
Okay, so two items I do not have in our show notes, but I will add. One is the University of Hawaii at Manoa has a really good VOG wind model that I use all the time because, like Ricky, I have very particular set of lungs. And two, there is a really nice site called windy.com, W-I-N-D-Y.com, for anybody interested in wind patterns worldwide. It shows more than just wind. It shows you precipitation and other things, too. It doesn't show you VOG, but it gives you, you know, if you if this is important to you, and it is to us. Anyway, the other three of us, different island, not affected directly by the lava, but as Ricky said, we'll get VOG, which is volcanic smog, pretty soon. Right now it's being blown south. And shouldn't be too bad.
But. Yeah.
The amazing thing is, and I'm sure you've seen the little maps that people have been posting.
Oh, yeah.
That even the people who are on that island, 95% of them are not affected.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's true.
So for people familiar with the island of Hawaii, which is one, you know, and that's the confusing thing, right? The island is named Hawaii, and the entire state of all the islands is also named Hawaii. A lot of us simply refer to the island of Hawaii as the Big Island.
Oh, I admit, when I lived on the mainland, I did have fun saying, I'm from Hawaii, I live in Hawaii, but I don't live on Hawaii.
Yep. And so really, it is, what's the word I'm looking for? Restricted, I guess, maybe restricted is not the word, but it is in the area called Puna, which is the southwest. Yeah, mostly east. East. Mostly just east.
Yeah, south.
It is south of Hilo. Mm-hmm. It is east of Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa, south of them too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a part that's affected. I used to live in Volcanoes National Park, you know. But anyway, that was lots of fun.
Mm-hmm. I work with a couple of people who live on Hawaii Island.
Yeah.
And they have family homes that, or one of them has a family home that they've had to evacuate.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's not the home that they live in actively. It's the family's house kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. So. And there are some parts that have to be evacuated even though they're not in the path of lava just because of the eruptive activity in general. You know,
I think they're in that boat. Yeah, I think they're in that boat where they're not directly in the path of lava, but it's close enough.
Yeah. And then earthquakes. But anyway, I digress. Windy.com, and I'll have the University of Hawaii VOG model link in the show notes. So next up is something Ricky pointed out to me, and I didn't realize that this company actually produced anything yet. But go ahead, Ricky.
This week, it's been rumored that the Andy Rubin, I think that's his name, pretty sure that's him. Andy Rubin, the co-developer of Android.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure his attempt at making a phone company, apparently it failed.
Yeah.
That the company is being shopped out to bidders, and the second generation phone project has been canceled. So I'm sad. I have an Essential phone. It's a really nice phone.
Mm-hmm. Android-based.
It's heavy. Yeah. Android-based. It had a notch before the iPhone X had a notch.
It's a Pioneer.
It can actually run Android P. Hmm. Yep. And it is so close to being the same. Somehow it's so close to being a Pixel that when I use the Pixel headsets with it, it identifies, the headset thinks it's working with a Pixel. So all those features that were only supposed to be Pixel only, it works on this thing.
Like language translation and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, but I don't feel bad for Andy Rubin. After all, he did successfully launch Danger and sold the Sidekick to Microsoft and made a ton of money. Then he created, I think it was called Danger anyway. Then he created the company that created Android and sold that to Google and made a ton of money. So, you know what? 2 out of 3 isn't bad.
Yeah.
You know?
This is true.
2 out of 3 mega sales, not bad at all.
So. I mean, the phone wasn't perfect. If you were a T-Mobile user like me, it was better to stay in Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. It dropped calls on T-Mobile's network like you wouldn't believe.
Now, was it designed for T-Mobile's frequency set?
Supposedly. It's got all the radios, but it's just, they call it their antenna gate. You hold the phone wrong and the signal disappears. Mm.
So it's more the phone design than T-Mobile or combination?
Yeah, it's more the phone. I think it's both. Yeah,
because the problem I've had with T-Mobile is the way you penetration. Hold. Go ahead, Paul.
If you ask Steve Jobs, it's all in the way you hold it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I even got the bumper, the official essential bumper. It didn't help.
Okay, so.
I really think it's my fat hands stopping the signals from getting through, which is strange.
Yeah, so I've got a link to a Bloomberg article that's talking about Andy Rubin's considering selling Essential Products, Inc. Okay, next up is a security...
It's really weird. Seeing the Reddit reaction to this, it's really interesting. I haven't seen... I haven't been on Reddit before where a company, a well-loved company by the Reddit community dies. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of strange seeing people going, keep up hope. There's keep still hope. It's like, really? The company's... gonna be gone. What hope do we have? But okay.
Yeah, maybe they're hoping Google will buy it.
No, that is actually one of the. They're hoping either Google or Amazon buys it.
Oh, apparently
Amazon saves stuff.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Amazon, you know, needs a phone solution.
That's kind not of. Fire.
Yeah, it's not Fire. No, that was, you know, like the Microsoft kin, man. I mean, it was,
yeah.
Not a good thing, as they say. Next up, another not a good thing. So I have a link to an Ars Technica article that says FBI tells router users to reboot now to kill malware infecting 500,000 devices. And, you know, when I first read it, I thought, oh, it's those high-end, you know, commercial-grade Cisco-type things. But no, it's consumer-grade stuff. So a quote from the article is, researchers from Cisco's Talos security team first disclosed the existence of the malware on Wednesday. This is, Wednesday would have been, what is it, around the 23rd or so.
Yeah.
The detailed report said malware infected more than 500,000 devices made by Linksys, which is owned by Cisco, I think, or
no,
was.
No, not anymore. They're
oh, so out. Then?
Yeah, they were spun out, yeah.
Okay. Something called Microtech, which I don't know about, Microtik, and Netgear, QNAP and TP-Link, which, you know, the last three are all really well-known brands.
I have a TP-Link router.
And I have a Microtik router.
And I rebooted my Netgear router. Actually, my Netgear router has been so... It's a Wi-Fi access point / router. It's been so flaky from the access point of view that I've had to reboot it every day anyway, so... I'm looking for...
That's nice.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you guys have the same, and this is going a little off topic, but have you guys noticed that, for me at least, my access points, the access point part of access point / router or just a pure access point, always seems to die within a couple of years. Like 3 or 4 years, it kind of slowly starts degrading, becomes less reliable, and then finally becomes useless and I have to replace it.
I can't between 5G and 2.4G all the time.
Yeah, I replace my routers at least once every 1.5 years, so I can't really say.
You just replace it for replacing it, though. They're not broken or anything.
Yeah, because I see a good deal on Amazon, and you know, right around Black Friday, I see a good deal. I buy that router, and then the old router goes away.
Okay, so what's a good deal for router? Because I was at both Sam's Club and Costco, you know, Centers of Technology, the other day, and I didn't see anything under $200. I think.
Yeah, my buy it price is $150.
Okay.
But I've got a TP-Link router right now. I'm looking off in the, at it because I'm looking at the model number. But the reason why I like it is it has a built-in antivirus scanner.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's inline, and I've actually hit websites where like this you know, it'll return back that this website has flag it. So it's pretty good. Really interesting to see where my dad goes because we're on the same Wi-Fi network. I'm like, Dad, stop making the router go off.
That's pretty good.
It also supports IFTTT, so
that's nice.
For a little while, I was playing with this thing of if the router hits an antivirus message to blink one of my lights.
Right.
It was kind of funny to see Dad comes home, light blinks, like Dad.
You should have it set off a klaxon, you know, like on a battleship.
It'd be annoying. In his defense, he goes to a lot of Chinese newspaper websites, and they have the antivirus tracks a lot of the ad companies, kind of adware stuff. But it's because on an American platform, it would be considered malware. But if you're reading Chinese newspapers, it's not.
It's right? Normal.
Yeah, it's normal. For them, it's their equivalent of our Facebook pixel, so it's not malware to them, but it is to us.
Yeah. Paul, what were you saying about your routers or your Wi-Fi access points?
That the older my routers get,
one
of the frequencies will just drop. Like if I'm on 2.4, it'll stop working. If I switch to 5, it'll be working fine. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm on the 5 and it stops working, I'll switch to 2.4 and it'll be working fine. So the router doesn't die, just one set of frequencies die.
Uh-oh. I hear a siren.
Sorry.
Oh, that's near Ricky's home, I guess. Ricky just muted himself while the whatever it is passes.
That's the problem living between Queens, Kuakini, and the Liliha Fire Station.
Okay, so the first two Ricky just mentioned are two large hospitals.
With ERs.
plus a fire, which also is kind of a paramedic.
Yeah, and a fire engine just went by, so it's really hard to record any kind of audio in this area.
Yeah. I got to go look for a new router. And I should say, you know, router / access point, the router part, actually. But for me, every couple of years, I notice they just slowly degrade.
I have a suggestion for you.
Sure, shoot.
So I put this in for one of my clients.
Yeah.
And she just loves it. It's the Eero, E-E-R-O.
Oh, yeah.
Euros are good, yeah.
That's a mesh thing, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she has a huge house. So there's like 6 units in there. But every place you go in that house, you get 300 down, 250 up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. It'd be especially good for me since I only get 100 down from my ISP. But
Costco has the competitor to that, which is the Netgear Orbi.
Yeah, that's super expensive.
Well, but it's worth it if you.
Not as expensive as the Eero.
Yeah, I've done installations with the Orbi, and the reason why I like the Orbi is because if you ever had to buy a spare, it's locally available, whereas everything else isn't.
Mm.
Another one I like is the Google Wi-Fi. Yeah,
also expensive.
It's also expensive. It's just as reliable. I like the Netgear and Google because they have a separate backhaul network. They're not inline back. They're not using up one of your channels that you're supposed to be that you could be using for Wi-Fi to do your backhaul. So I prefer that. But
the new version of Eero does that as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say but the new version of Eero does that too. So that's a good thing. They're all good. They're just expensive.
Yeah, I'm just cheap. I don't want to spend that much money on a solution.
But see, okay, here's my thing. If you want to build out gradually, you can buy the Google Wi-Fi as a single unit.
Yeah.
And then add on later on. Versus the Orbeez, you got to buy 2 in one go.
Yeah.
And I think the Eero, you got to buy 3 in one go.
Yeah. You can buy either 2 or 3.
Yeah.
There's a package with three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A base and two satellites.
I'll give it some thought. And to comment on Paul's situation about the 2.4 and 5 gig issue that he runs into as his access points age, I just put in two different access points.
Yeah.
And dedicated them, one to 5 and one to 2.4. There's not a lot that needs 2.4 anymore. I think just some IoT stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
You know my house, right? It's full of IoT stuff. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just have two different access points and leave it at that.
Well, my router is not a mesh router, but I like that it's one network for both frequencies, and it automatically figures out which device would benefit better from being on the 5 gigahertz versus the 2.4 gigahertz. And even if I'm like walking from my room where the router is and I walk into the kitchen, which is a little bit too far for 5.4, it seamlessly switches to the 2.4 and I never notice the drop.
Nice.
See, I was wondering about trying that because I've read both things, right? Like you should definitely do it or you should definitely not do it.
Mm-hmm. I was in the camp of keeping them separate until I got this router on sale, and then now I'm like, okay, I love it. It's just easier.
Okay, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, because you're not battling, okay, like if you're in, you know, when I'm 3 feet away from the router, Windows is not battling to jump on the 2.4 network or the 5 gigahertz network. So I'm like, all right, that works for me.
All right, well, I guess I will consider spending more than $100, which is kind of the upper limit of my pain tolerance.
Mine is $150, especially for the feature of like the inline antivirus.
That's, yeah, that's
really nice what sold me on this router was the inline antivirus.
Yeah, I think I spent about $150 for the Netgear that's currently dying on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go take a look, and I have kind of other brand Wi-Fi extenders throughout my tiny home.
See, the Wi-Fi extenders will kill your bandwidth.
I mean, for what I need, they're fine.
They're not.
It's almost as bad as every time you add one, it halves your bandwidth.
And it's almost that bad. Okay, to me. I mean, you know, if I get 50 megs down, that's fine.
Mm.
And I get the full 10 to 12 up, no matter what I'm connected to, so the upload is not an issue.
And for completeness, Linksys is now owned by Belkin.
Oh, Belkin. Okay, got it. Yeah, they were their own company, then Cisco bought them, and now Belkin. All right. Well, thanks for that discussion, because it's something I need to... I'm trying to like not spend money, but I guess I'll be forced to. Anyway, getting back, so if you've got a router, reboot. That's what the FBI is saying.
I'll definitely do it.
Yeah. It might just help things in general anyway to reboot. Just kind of reset things. Soft reset things. Not exactly security, but... So the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, went into effect in Europe a couple of days ago. And what it's supposed to do is provide privacy policies for European Union-type people. But apparently it's so onerous to deal with that the easiest way to deal with it is to just block all of Europe. If you're not in Europe. And there's a kind of a funny article on Apility.io on how to do this using Cloudflare workers. And it's a paid service. It's not free. But he gives you some code on how to talk to their API and basically block everything in Europe. And he wrote it tongue-in-cheek. He wrote at the end of his article, he wrote, "Please don't take us seriously. This is an example of all the things you can do with Cloudflare workers and our API. If you like it, please spread the word. But hey, don't take us seriously. We just wanted to take the drama out of all the GDPR madness out of there." That said, Bloomberg is reporting that a number of pretty large entities in the U.S. are doing just that. They're just blocking all of Europe instead of dealing with GDPR.
Yeah, LA Times is doing that.
Yeah. So, interesting side effect
to do that, you would have to block any EU email address as well.
No? Why would you need to do that?
Because EU email address is...
Only if you reply, right?
If you have somebody who subscribes to your paper.
Yeah.
Or wants to read an article.
No, but they can't. That's the point of blocking, right? No, nobody in the European Union can see these sites.
But if anywhere in your database you have an EU email address,
yeah,
and you don't follow GDPR, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm. See, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that.
That's why you've gotten 10,000 emails in the last 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
But and the problem for me is that I've noticed a bunch of them say, oh, if you still want to communicate with us, please click here. But since I have 10,000 of these emails, I don't read every one to see, oh, am I supposed to click or do I not have to click or mm-hmm. what deal?
I just don't want to communicate with any of them, so I'm not clicking any of them.
It's a great reminder to what mailing list you subscribed to back in the day.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? I really don't give a, you know, horses behind.
About your one of the ones I'm finding funny, the you know, I guess, well, it's a side effect of my job that I sign up for a whole bunch of different social media networks, sure. right? And then they fail and then you forget about them.
Yeah.
And then getting the GDPR emails from these companies you thought were dead and like, wait, why are you sending me email? I thought you were dead.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, if you do want to block everybody in the EU, there's an API and you have some money. I don't think it's too expensive. You know, you can block away. I'll put the ability.io URL to the article on our show notes. And I don't think my blog is affected because I'm not collecting any information. No email. No, I've got comments turned off.
But do you have subscribers?
No, not that I know of. There's nothing to subscribe to. It's a WordPress blog. I mean, subscribing to the WordPress blog?
Yeah, because I get it as a podcast delivered to me.
Oh, that's from iTunes, though, isn't it? Or iTunes or Google Play?
It's iTunes.
Okay, so as long as iTunes and Google Play adheres to GDPR, then it should be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have a subscribe button on my website. It makes life simpler. No subscribe.
I only listen when I'm on, so.
No, nothing. No money.
But doesn't WordPress generate an RSS feed automatically?
I mean, it does, but then you're not capturing the user's data at that point, right? It's just it's just read-only from the user point of view. It's just they're the one downloading it, right? So you're not storing anything. So I think that's okay. They made it complicated.
But but I mean, you know, maybe my my ISP, my hosting site has a block all of the EU, and I'll just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that'll make it easier.
To me, is that my part-time job at the University of Hawaii? I have not heard boo from them, and I know we've got students from Europe. I have a student from Europe in my class.
Yeah, maybe they're not a student anymore because of GDPR.
So in theory. Have information about that student in my computer, I'm not in compliance, right? I have personally identifiable information about that student who is an EU resident.
I'm reading the GDPR thing now. Scope. This regulation applies to if the data controller, an organization collects data from the EU residents, or processor, organization processes data, or the data subject person is based in the EU. Under certain circumstances, the regulation also applies to organizations based outside of the EU if they collect or process personal data of individuals inside the EU.
Wait, that's confusing. So what if you're just like creating you're a regular person, you made a Google form to have a summer picnic with your friends.
Yeah.
Do you now fall under the GDPR issue? Because you collected everybody's email addresses availability in a Google form.
If one of your friends is an EU resident.
Yeah, I mean, assuming you are in Europe and you're making a summer party in Europe.
Or even here, but your friend from France is visiting and...
Wow, that's going to be complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, your chances of getting caught on that are probably pretty slim. Sure,
yeah. But then again, you have cases of, like, in France, it's illegal to take a picture. It's against the law to take pictures of strangers. No more street photography.
Really? I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah, there's no more street photography because of privacy laws. But people have gotten in trouble of taking, you know, tourists. They're taking a picture of the Eiffel Tower, which is fine.
Right.
But someone's identifiable in the picture, and they post it online. They're in trouble for violating the
privacy. Wow.
Yeah, it was a discussion in the photography forums years ago. It's like, what?
Can you do it if you mask out the people? So they're not identifiable?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But, you know,
if you're taking a picture is not illegal.
Taking a picture is not illegal. Posting it online is where you get in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. But still yet, I mean, I'm in France. I'm Instagramming.
Right.
There's people behind me. You just broke the law. Wow. Right?
Well, so. simple solution. Don't go to France.
Mind you, I am not a lawyer. I don't know if it's completely true. This was yeah. all fever dreaming from photography forum, so it could be completely wrong.
Right.
Nobody sue me.
Well,
do not take legal advice from me.
I'm going to solve it by just never going to France. That's easy enough to do. Not going. No problem. Okay, we just killed their entire tourist business. That's good.
Well, we'll just need the equivalent of the Hawaii Tourism Board saying, Paris is open.
Wait, oh, God, let's hope Hawaii doesn't do that. Because we have some weird places where we can't take photos either, right? I mean, even personal photos, like that tree, the Panasonic tree.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
You can't take a photo at the Panasonic tree?
Yeah. In Mauna Loa Gardens, there's a tree. Is it Panasonic or Toshiba? One of the Japanese companies sponsors that tree, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
their official logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the tree has a copyright image on it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but I see Japanese tourists taking pictures with that tree all the time.
Maybe the Japanese laws or policies aren't as onerous as... Oh, you know what? Might be because it's not a law. In France, it's probably a law. This is probably like a copyright.
Oh, okay.
And so it depends how hard they pursue the copyright or the equivalent, Japanese equivalent.
Because it's a famous tree in Japan because it was in commercials, right? So they all have pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I think I'm looking it up now. I think it's Panasonic tree.
Or Hitachi or
something. Yeah, one of those things. Okay,
maybe I know it's not Sony.
Sony.
Wow, okay, that's just complicated.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Hitachi tree. It's a Hitachi tree. Yeah. You're right. You're right, Ricky. Yeah, the Hitachi tree. It's a monkey pod tree, 130 years old. And I think they use it like in their corporate logo or something like that. Yeah. So, there you go.
It's almost like the... You know how all kids here can sing the Oscar Mayer Wiener song?
don't sing it because we have to pay for it.
Yeah.
In Japan, they can all sing the song that goes with this commercial with the tree. So when you go to Mauna Loa Gardens and you see all the Japanese tourists, you ask them to sing the song and they all sing the song.
Really? There's a song for the tree?
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, if you want to be snarky, there's a song for a hot dog and every American kid knows it.
Yeah, but that's American, man.
And it's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog. It's got its own car and everything. They'll ask you, well, anyway, which I've never seen in person.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I know.
Wasn't it here a few years ago?
Yeah, it was, but I just never saw it. I have seen the Google Street Views car, but not the Oscar Mayer Wiener hot dog mobile. Okay. And Ricky, I think Ricky put this in. Okay, I really don't care about Steam because I'm not a gamer, but I know you are a gamer, Ricky. So what's the big deal about this item you stuck in there?
Well, okay, earlier in May, Steam had announced that they're going to release a app that allows you to play your desktop games on Android and iOS devices.
Yeah.
They released a statement, I guess, 2 days after they had received initial approval from both app stores, Apple and Android.
Okay.
And then, you know, as the month progressed, the Android version came out, but the iOS version never came out.
Okay.
Earlier this week, it came out that Apple had revised their approval and now denied them the, revoked their approval, so they can't put it on the Apple store.
Hmm.
And so, you know, why, Apple? Why?
Right. By Apple Store, I assume you mean the Mac App Store, or
no, the iOS App Store.
Is it iOS App Store?
Yeah.
See, I'm not following this story at all.
No, but it's conceptually cool that you could play your desktop games like a Tomb Raider game
on your iPad or something.
On your iPad, or would be better on your Apple TV.
Yeah.
If you can hook it up, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so further development, I guess on Friday. I'm not sure of the exact timeline, but Apple's marketing said, we're working with Steam And I think the official, the unofficial response from Steam is right. We remain hopeful. Not to put words in anyone's mouth. I think they remain hopeful.
Where there's life, there's hope, right?
Yeah. But it falls into that whole thing again of, you know, Apple might be right in that because they said that it violates some business guidelines or something like that.
Right.
But then it I don't know, if the app doesn't, what kind of business guidelines gets violated with an app that lets you play a game that you already bought on your main computer on your mobile device?
Maybe because you didn't buy it through the apps, Apple Eyes, and you didn't pay your 30%.
That's probably it.
Right?
That's probably it. I mean, I guess that's why, like, the Google Play Movies.
Yeah.
And the Amazon Video app. I can't buy movies when I'm on my iPad.
That's true. Yeah, you got to go. Yeah. Well, actually, you can, but you can't do it through the app. You got to use a browser.
Yeah, you got to go through the browser.
Right. In fact, this is actually from a different podcast, from the Comics News podcast. But after Amazon bought Comixology, which is both a store and a comic book reading app, which is awesome, my friends on Comics News podcast, Jay Stone and Emil Reyes, were so upset they stopped reading digital comics.
Really?
Yeah. They bought paper comics again.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, that's kind of... <you know. laughs> For me, it saved money because, you know, I no longer kind of impulse bought comics.
Yeah. No, it was the opposite for me. Now it was easier for me to read comics. I bought a bunch of comics I wouldn't have normally bought.
No, but I mean...
Because it was easier.
Once they stopped allowing you to buy comics through the Comixology app, I stopped impulse buying.
Oh, that's true.
I'd be on the app, I go, oh, yeah, that looks good, and I'd click $3 or whatever, right? Sometimes more.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I forgot already what I was going to buy, so never mind.
Yeah.
I barely remember to buy the Action Comics 1000 a couple of weeks ago, which is pretty interesting if you're a Superman fan.
What happens?
Oh, so Michael Bendis is, you know, going to take over the writing, right? Uh-huh. So his first Superman story is in there.
Oh.
And, you know, it coincided with the 80th anniversary of Superman and April 1938. So all that kind of good stuff.
Mm.
Okay.
I have a comic recommendation.
Okay.
There's an Alien comic, which is really good.
You mean it's...
Like... Ripley...
Alien.
Alien.
Yeah.
And it's a story that happens in the Alien universe, but it's drawn in anime art style or manga art style.
Oh,
so it's really interesting seeing the alien, with the manga speed lines behind him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, oh wow, that alien really moves fast when you look at it that way.
Right. Right.
Okay, moving on. That was terrible.
Well, it's also a good story. You know, Jay Stone and I haven't done a Comics Views podcast in a while. There's also Batman Ninja.
Oh, I've been wanting to watch that, but I don't want to pay $19 to watch the movie.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, and I heard it's not very good. So, disappointing.
Have you been watching Krypton, Todd?
I've only watched the first two or three episodes. I've got the rest DVR'd.
Same. I'm waiting for the end of the season.
I'm going to either binge watch it or wait till it hits Netflix.
Same.
What about you, Paul?
Well, because of the royal wedding, in our house, we've been watching The Crown.
Oh, God.
And The Crown is actually quite interesting.
I heard it's good. I heard it's Doctor Who's in there, right?
Yeah, it's Matt Smith.
Yeah, the Doctor. Except not. Yeah, he plays Prince Philip?
Prince Philip.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah.
And he actually looks quite a bit like the young Prince Philip.
But yeah. So.
Yeah, in fact, several Doctor Who peeps in there.
Oh, yeah? Like, who else?
Claire Foy. Mm-hmm. Who else?
I guess I could look it up. But
you see them as, like, bit characters, right?
Yeah. Oh, since we've gone really far afield. I don't subscribe to Twitch. You know, who bought them? Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon, yeah.
Okay, Amazon bought Twitch, and they normally show, like, gamers gaming, right? Ricky, you're a gamer. Right. You should know this stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently they have other stuff, and starting on the 29th, I think, which is Tuesday, Twitch is going to show 500 Doctor Who episodes starting from the 1963 series.
I thought they already started that.
I thought it was going to start on the 29th.
Oh, okay.
But anyway,
I've been seeing ads pop up all over my Twitch stuff because of that.
Yeah.
My questions with Twitch is that it's another one of those social media sites that has a very dedicated fan base.
Yeah.
They are very, not all of them, but there are a few people who are like, why are you streaming? You're not gaming. You're just streaming. That's not right. That, you know, they've got that type of reaction. So I have no idea how Amazon is going to manage switching the model from gamers only streaming their games to now we're a content distribution network.
Right.
I'm not sure if the community will be very receptive to that. Wow. I feel like I'm working government again. <It's>
like, well, you know.
Good putting it, yeah.
I think they also, I don't know if you guys know who Jim Lee is. He's the co-publisher for DC Comics and also an extraordinary comic book artist. Mm-hmm. I think he's on Twitch, and he will live broadcast him drawing and talking to people about his drawing. And, you know, he will teach drawing techniques sometimes. And sometimes he's just working. He's, like, working on a comic book page. But I think he got a little bit of heat because he's not gaming. Although it's he also posted on YouTube. And quite frankly, if you want to just have 5 hours, and sometimes he will live stream for 5 hours straight while he's drawing, it is kind of fascinating, actually.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, he's got the geek cred of being a, you know, a DC, right?
DC,
he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, a DC, not animator, but artist.
Artist, yeah. But, and co-publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen people who have tried to do, it was a friend, I was helping them out, do palm reading, Gotcha. Okay. And that is so far from gamer related that their chat... They had a few dedicated people who followed them over from YouTube, but then there was a whole bunch of other people going, like, get off the site, you're not a gamer. Almost to that level where they're like, where I was private sending them messages on the site, you might want to get off just in case you know, somebody
goes whack
swats you or something. Yeah. Because I'm like, the amount of hatred coming out. One, yes, it's palm reading, so that whole science community is like...
Right.
I don't believe in it. I was just helping a friend out.
Right.
Set up their gear to do streaming. And I'm like, yeah, you might not want to do this on this platform again. Stick to YouTube. Stick to your Instagram Live.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Might not be the right vertical platform for them.
Right. So, I don't know. I could see if Amazon started a different service brought to you by Twitch.
Right.
But I don't know about spinning Twitch itself into YouTube Red. It's basically what they're saying. Well, it's not YouTube Red anymore, whatever it is now.
It's awful YouTube is Premium. What it is.
Yes, I'm so confused.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever Google is doing, I hate it. I'm having difficult understanding what is what and what do I pay for and what do I get with what people are. Am I going to still have the stuff I have that I've been paying for? Yep. And
I mean, I have Google Play Music. I pay for that.
Yep, me too.
Which gave me YouTube Red.
Yes.
But now with this change... Do I still get the YouTube Red? Because I will pay to get rid of the ads. Just let me get rid of the ads on all my videos.
I think we do, but I don't know. It's confusing. And for me, it's even more complex because my daughter was in college. You know, I went to the family plan. I moved from my $8 a month grandfathered price and paid $15 a month for the family plan so she could, you know, so I could, like, buy TV shows for her to watch because she didn't have a TV. And quite frankly, it turns out I like watching without commercials, so it's kind of worth it.
Yeah, it is.
But at any rate, so, you know, it's not so much the music I subscribe for, really.
It's the anti-commercial thing.
Yeah, it's anti-commercials.
Well, I watch all my YouTube on Roku, and every time it logs me out, you know, every once in a while I have to re-authenticate and I'll forget to do that.
And you'll see ads.
So I'm watching something on something random on YouTube. And then I'm like, why am I watching 40 seconds of ad for a 30-second video?
Right.
I actually had to pay for it just so I could show YouTube videos in class.
Yeah,
without
commercials.
I think without the pre-roll,
A pre-roll commercial every time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now there's mid-roll commercials too, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, somebody was telling me there's mid-roll commercials as well and end-roll.
Wow.
So.
Well, you know, Google is not rich enough, so they have to...
Well, YouTube is not profitable enough, right? That's the distinction. It's YouTube is a separate, sort of a separate company.
But it is. But let's face it, most of Google is not profitable. It's just their AdSense and
Yeah.
Cloud stuff, right? Nothing else really makes money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But they've got a lot of money to play, right?
Yes. That's the nice thing about being rich, right? You can do stuff like that.
Was the whole thing about Google employees quitting because they didn't want their research and time going into military contracts, was that this week or was that last week?
It was a couple of weeks ago, like maybe a week or two ago, and specifically for face recognition technology being used by, you know, law enforcement and military, I think. Kind of like what they're doing in China now, where they're scanning faces in concerts and things. And
yeah, that's insane.
It's amazing, right? In a way, right? Thousands and thousands of people, and they can pick your face out and I'd ID you for whatever reason.
I saw this movie. It was called Minority Report. It ends badly.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Pre-crime, right?
Pre-crime. No, there is a story about pre-crime too this week, right? Where there's algorithms now.
Yeah.
They're using to detect crime.
Before it happens?
Something like that, yeah.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. But, all right. At any rate, we're coming up at 45 minutes. I want to thank Paul and Ricky for our another one of our All Hawaii Mobile Views podcasts. Uh-huh. And we will talk to you guys next time.